Now please join us in the responsive reading. Advent is a time to bind up the brokenhearted. For past wrongs that prevent us from moving forward. For any bitterness that scratches our souls. For relationships left in decay and neglect. For any action that has wounded us or by which we have wounded others. This morning we light four candles. The first candle is the light of hope for those in time of waiting. The second candle is the light of hope for those who are wearied by the circumstances of life. The third candle is the candle of hope for those eagerly watching for God's promised glory. The fourth candle is the candle of hope for those who carry the wounds of life. Today we acknowledge our pain and the pain that we have caused others. As the light shines, we turn to the Savior who came to rescue the lost, to help the hurting, and to bind up the broken.
Let us pray. Merciful God, Advent reminds us that you left heaven's majesty to walk among wounded people in a broken world. We thank you that your love knows no boundaries or limitations. No wound of the earth is greater than the wound you came to heal. For all who suffer this day, light the way, O Lord, toward the promise of healing and wholeness made known in you. Amen.
Good morning. Will you pray with me? Living God, with Elizabeth we wonder, how can this be that the Lord has come? Fill us with the life of your Holy Spirit so that we may greet your promise of grace with hearts that leap for joy. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your word fulfilled. Amen. All right, then please join us in the singing of hymn number 12, People Look East. Please join me in the prayer confession. Let us pray. O holy God of promise, we so often place our trust in the things we can see and touch and easily believe. But you did not ask us to believe what is easy. You've asked us to believe what is true. Forgive us, Holy One, when we doubt the ways you work. Forgive us when we find it hard to believe an ancient story. Forgive us when we question how you chose to enter the world, born as one of us. Forgive our lack of faith and belief in ways which seem so impossible to believe. Help us to look in faith, open our belief, and set aside our doubts. The one who has come to set us all free. We offer these prayers in the name of your Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Friends, God is for us and not against us. For that very reason, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The blessing of such great news frees our hearts to hope, joy, and love. When we live through these feelings, even in a broken world, a sense of peace is created within us. It is the peace of God's love, a love that is beyond our understanding, yet upholds our lives. For such love I say to you, may the peace of Christ be with you. Yeah, so now please share this with a nod or wave. Okay, please pray with me now. O mighty one who scatters the proud and fills the hungry, by your Holy Spirit, let your word leap up in us and bring to our yearning the joy that comes with new beginnings and renewed lives. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is Malachi chapter 5. Verses 2 to 5a, and I will find it pretty quickly. I promise. There it is. Five. Okay. Let us now listen for God's word to God's people. It's not coming up. It says there's no Malachi 5. Well, that's why. That's why I have done something weird. We will read Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day that the Lord comes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Indeed, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Such wonderful words. Big words for the tiny babe that came to us at Christmas. Olivia, would you like to come up and visit with me? So the reading today comes to us from Luke's Gospel, Chapter 1, and it begins at verse 39. Listen now for God's word to God's people. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to see me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Has it ever struck you how odd it was for Mary to leave her home and go and visit her older cousin Elizabeth? Think about that. She was just 12, maybe 13. She was old enough to be married by their standards, but she was not married. And traveling in those days? That was difficult, dangerous stuff, especially for a lone woman. And the distance between Mary's and Elizabeth's homes was more than a day's walk out there into the hills of Judea. Yet the story doesn't say that she went with other family members or someone who could protect her. It's odd. Now, it's lovely to think that she went to see Elizabeth out of a desire to help her relative to get ready for the impending birth. But would Elizabeth really need help? She was married to Zechariah, a priest of great renown, which means they were well off. She'd have handmaids to help her. Assistance from a country cousin? That wasn't really needed. So what possessed Mary to go visit her cousin? I'm thinking it was confusion and fear. If we look back at the 10 or so verses immediately preceding this reading, we'd see that Mary was taken aback by Angel Gabriel's appearance. And depending on which translation you read of this story, you'll see her immediate response to him was either perplexed or troubled or disturbed or even agitated by his words. If an angel dropped in on me, I would certainly be shaken up. No wonder after greeting her, Gabriel immediately said, "Do not be afraid." Even with that kind of encouragement, his news had to be overwhelming. You have to hand it to her, though. At least she had the capacity to ask how the news could be true. But even Gabriel's response must have seemed confusing. The introvert inside of me would have wanted to sit for a good long while, contemplate it before saying anything more. The significance of his message for Earth was earth-shaking. Life could never be the same for anyone if God was to take on human form and walk with us. And to be told that you are the vehicle that would usher in this incredible change, what a daunting task. I suspect most people would say something like, okay, right. Let me think about this and get back to you in a few days, okay? But Mary said quietly, "Here I am." Only later would she understand what her acceptance of Gabriel's news meant. Yes, she would bear God's son, the firstborn of creation. But who would believe her? Who would understand? Unlike Elizabeth, who was a descendant of Moses' brother Aaron, practically royalty in ancient Hebrew society, Mary is a nobody from a nowhere village. Remember how it said, "Does anything good come from Nazareth?" Pregnant and unwed, her parents probably wanted nothing to do with her. And once word got out around town, yeah, she'd likely be stoned. Killed. So what could she do to stay alive for the baby that was to be born? Where could she go and safely come to terms with the truth of this new reality? To whom could she turn? Yeah, Elizabeth. Old, yet no longer barren, Elizabeth could possibly understand Mary's situation. After all, Gabriel had visited her too and then told Mary her cousin was just as pregnant as she was. Perhaps the angel was pointing Mary to a safe haven. So in today's passage, Luke tells us that Mary went with haste to visit her older cousin. With haste. As if she was practically running away from home. Which is something that a young woman in a precarious situation like this might do. And this is where the story moves from confusion and fear into joy and love. For we are told that the priest's yet unborn son jumped for joy when the sound of Mary's voice reached his ears. Certainly, this is an affirmation of what the angel had foretold. But it's also a prophetic announcement by the priest's wife, Elizabeth. And filled with the Holy Spirit, this older woman blesses the younger one, even while she's wondering why she has been given the gift of hosting her cousin in that woman's time of great need. Stunning. Stunning. How God sometimes jolts us awake with incredible surprises. Mary has arrived on Elizabeth's doorstep in a shameful condition. She shouldn't have even opened the door to the visitor. And yet Elizabeth does. Which is when that miraculous leap takes place. Can you imagine how amazed Elizabeth must have felt at that moment? How full of wonder that not only was she finally having a child, but that the mother of the Lord would seek her out for assistance. Quite the turnabout, that. The woman who needed little help from outsiders is being asked by God to overturn her social morals, Mary's shameful condition, to help not just a poor cousin, but the power that created all life. Indeed, sometimes God ensures that we have exactly what we need, not for our own good, but so we can provide for others. And to be able to provide for the one who gives us all that we have, the mere thought of such an honor stops me in my tracks and takes my breath away. And Mary, she wasn't just received, she just wasn't welcomed. She was blessed. Blessed by her host. She wasn't feeling merely relieved. No. Elizabeth's words would have lifted her spirits from confusion to joyful thanksgiving, and from thanksgiving to loving praise of God. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord." And isn't that what it is to magnify someone? Yes, she said, "My spirit rejoices." Rejoice. A word from last week. Now you can shout and cheer, shriek or roar after your team comes from behind to win the playoff game. And while such a win is very, very, very exciting, I don't know if it glows in the kind of joy that Mary was feeling, the kind of joy we talked about last week. Remember, joy is a deep sense of peace and uplifting well-being that far surpasses the fleeting happiness we can feel during an exciting moment. So it follows that rejoicing in the Lord takes on a poetic form of expression. Poetry. People can communicate joy through that art, as well as the beauty of dance or song. And like Miriam and Hannah before her, Mary then sings of her joy in the Lord. She is no longer being rejected by society. She is being welcomed by a powerful woman to whom she can proclaim who God is to her. In song, she makes sense of God's work in her current circumstances and as befits the true prophet that she is. Mary rejoices over God's present power in the life of all of Israel. So now, let us listen to the second half of today's reading. Luke, beginning at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked up with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is God's poetry for God's people. Thanks be to God. Poetry, songs, are powerful things. This one especially so. For in it, Mary recognizes that she's been drawn into an exquisite and utterly unique relationship with the Almighty God, the one who has been caring for oppressed and downtrodden Israel since the days of Egypt, and who's been making and keeping promises since Abraham. In voicing this song, Mary is realizing her complete, deep trust in God. Yes, songs are powerful things. And call me political if you will, but Mary's song carries tremendous power in the face of oppressive regimes like the Pax Romana. Contemporary case in point. 22 years ago last month, and after more than 30 years of existence, the Berlin Wall fell. A piece of it is in the U.S. Air Force Museum in Dayton. Any of you seen it? Yeah, it's pretty terrible, isn't it? It's all concrete block and razor wire. It just tightens your stomach to see it. I suspect all of us have heard stories of how people who were trapped behind that horrible thing risked their lives to try to cross it. Now, tumbling that thing took most of the world by surprise. Remember? It's like, what? What happened? But even more surprising is that for several months before that night, the citizens of Leipzig protested peacefully against it, gathering on Monday evenings by candlelight around St. Nikolai Church, which just happens to be the church where Bach composed so many of his cantatas. They would sing. And over 2 months, their numbers grew from fewer than 1,000 voices to more than 300,000. 300,000. Over half of the city's citizens were singing songs of hope and justice until their song shook the powers of that nation and changed the world. God lifted up the lowly. The proud were scattered in the thoughts of their hearts, and the hungry were fed good things. Doesn't it seem that God is still working to bring forth kingdom life on earth as originally intended since before Adam and Eve broke God's covenant? Doesn't it seem God is trying to sweep us into God's divine activity of redeeming humankind? Isn't that what the purpose of Emmanuel's presence with us was? Isn't the advent of the salvation of humankind what Elizabeth's blessing on Mary was about? That the shame for our sinful condition is being purged by God's love, by Christ the Lord who is come and who shall come again. Bringing our voices together in song may seem insignificant in the face of all that troubles the world this day, but Mary's God, our God, rejoices in taking what is small and humble in the world's eyes and doing extraordinary things. Mary was shaken to her core when Gabriel told her God's good news. Stunned at first, she began to accept the reality of his words and then ran to the only person who might understand. There, God's gift to the world was affirmed. And there she received a most precious blessing. And there she sang of the joy of knowing that God was working to redeem the world and all the people in it. And with that song of trust in her heart and in ours, faithful people from generation to generation have been able to face the most overwhelming challenges and sing new songs of hope, of peace, of joy, and of the love God provides. So may we, like Mary and, yes, Elizabeth, trust that God is coming to save us and to free us, for that is God's blessing upon us, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants, forever. Amen. Now, as the Trinity Trio gathers to sing for us a new hymn, a new poem, I think you'll notice that it is set to an old tune, if you're aware of Celtic music, and that it is reminiscent of Mary's song. Listen now for their voices.
Please stand as you're able and join me in the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray.
O gracious God,
giver of life, you have showered each of us with blessings as numerous as the raindrops that fell upon us yesterday, and as the music notes that have been rung and played and sung and heard this morning. We can never thank you enough for our families, our friends, our homes, our talents, and the good work which you have offered us. Yet by giving of ourselves and of our finances, we seek to share these blessings with people in need here in Muskingum County and the world beyond. Bless them so that they might be well used. O Lord, on this, the Lord's Day, we remember how you came to humankind as a tiny child, born in a manger. You walked, talked, and healed people in need on this earth. Through hatred, you were unjustly put to death. But in graceful love, you arose from that death in glory of your most holy name. It is in awe and wonder and trust-filled faith that we ask you to hear us now as we boldly lift up our concerns to you today. We ask that you bless this earth, that it may provide for the needs of all that lives upon it. Bless those who care for it. Give them creative new ways to increase and enhance its ability to be present for us for years and years to come. Bless the church whose commission is to share your good news with all we meet. We ask that you remember our sister congregations, Frazeesburg, Deerfield, Roseville, Brighton, Dresden and Duncan Falls, Central, Norwich, Bloomfield, College Drive, Ricks Mills, and Westminster. Open those people's hearts to your word and strengthen them for service to you and their local communities. And bless each member on their faith journey throughout life. We ask that you watch over the people of this world who live amid violence, especially those who live amidst the violence of poverty that serves as a prison out of which they cannot climb. We pray for the victims of human trafficking, especially the youngest children, the smallest and most humble, who are permanently damaged through the trauma of being treated in such inhumane ways. Help us to find ways to be instruments of your peace when faced with this reality, so we might bless these children in your love. We pray for the people in the mid-south of this country who were affected by the tornadoes last week,
as well as for the 30,000 people of Malaysia who have been displaced by incredible flooding. We ask that you help us offer assistance to our brothers and sisters who suffer in such nightmares of catastrophe. Bless, too, those who are ill, especially our sister Julie, her family, and all who are dealing with a diagnosis of cancer as they walk through their dark valleys. Guide them to the tender mercies of medical professionals who can give them relief, the relief that you in your wisdom have created. We lift up to you the distraught, those who are dying, those who are grieving a loss, be it a separation by death or a separation by miles, or a separation by anger. Watch over them. Shower them with your peace, your love, and especially your hope for life anew. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Join with me on hymn number 44, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh,
You know, even before that chilly night in Bethlehem, that humble little town, God was working miracles. God worked a miracle in both Mary and Elizabeth. And Mary, in her shame, ran to Elizabeth, who blessed her, who brought her up into joy and thanksgiving and praise for what God had done to her. And she sang. She could not deal with the facts directly, and yet the poetry of song swirled in her heart and out through her voice and into the heavens. I pray that that kind of miracle, that kind of poetry will go with all of you this week. I pray that you will go forth and sing of the blessings of Jesus in your life, the miracles that continue to this day. Come join us this Christmas Eve to hear and sing more carols, and then again on Sunday for a complete carol sing. No sermon. Bring your friends. Share with them the good news. For God is with you. The Lord goes with you. The Lord continues the promises made to Abraham, for we are the descendants of that covenant. And the Lord goes with love, the grace of the gift of Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws us in together as one body, the church, now and forever. Amen and amen.